Hey, this is Jeremy Maddox, host of The Quiet Place, with a soft open here. Just to give you guys a heads up, anyone who is interested, I am hosting a live stream on YouTube this Sunday evening at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the subject matter, as of right now, I'm planning it to be about prescription drugs. Would it be more ideal for the federal government to relax regulations on prescription drugs? Should we legalize marijuana? Should we leave things as they are? Should we make it 10 times more aggressive in going after drugs? I want to know, to anybody who's interested in being a part of this discussion, just email me at sickfix@gmail.com or contact me on Twitter or Facebook to give me a heads up. Otherwise, this is episode 25, and for this episode, I combined my resources with a YouTuber known as Ogre to merge our shows for one episode, his being Police State and mine being The Quiet Place, and so we had a bunch of guys on to talk about various things such as Twitter and Google censorship, as well as the fiasco with Lindsay Shepherd at the university, who tried to guilt trip her into oblivion over using a Jordan Peterson clip. And we also get into the growing body count of post-Mandalay Bay survivors. I should say former survivors. And with that, I'm going to leave the audio here, and I'll resume a regular show with episode 26 sometime next week or the week thereafter. All right, thanks, guys. And welcome to The Quiet Place. Joining me, this is Jeremy Maddox, the bass Howard Beale. And joining me today, as I begin the great co-host search, we're trolling with Ogre. Ogre, say hi.
Hello, it's an honor to be here, sir.
And Mad Dodge Productions, who is never far from Ogre's live streams on YouTube. Mad Dodge?
Hey, how you doing, man?
All right. So, as I said, I'm beginning a search for an occasional co-host, and I have invited Ogre on, and Mad Dodge, a mad libertarian, is going to balance this out, may hopefully challenge me on some ideas, and maybe they'll be formidable opponents, maybe they'll be good friends by the end, who knows. But I wanted to start off, well, first of all, Ogre, why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself?
Oh, the laughing ogre. Later. I'm laughing ogre. I'm 43 years old. I've been I've got a couple degrees. That's probably neither here nor there, but studying was a big part of my life. It still is. I've been a truck driver. I've been a musician in a blues band and punk rock bands. And I've been a preacher, and I just kind of love YouTube, and have fallen in love with this this new genre of being able to communicate with people from all over the world. England, we've talked to people from Spain, France, you name it, and we've Vietnam. I mean, everywhere. And I just have fallen in love with this, and I'd just like to welcome everybody today. For once on my own, well, not for once, but for another time on my own channel, I get to chill and let somebody else be the host. Thank you so much for having me again.
And Mad Dodge, you want to say anything to get people acquainted?
Well, my channel is Mad Dodge Productions on YouTube. I'm the Mad Libertarian 3 on Twitter. I do the Red Eye stream, and I also have a weekly debate stream that was postponed, but it should be back this week on Thursday, and we're doing the death penalty. So that should be interesting. That's about it. Thanks for having me on, you guys.
Jeremy.
I said you guys, but yeah, Jeremy, or whatever. Sorry.
Okay. So first off, I want to get into this almost collaboration of censorship between Google and Twitter. First off, we've got Behring, who's been suspended by Twitter. Now, some people out there might say, well, Twitter, who cares? You know, it's just a waste of time, you know, but when most ideas are being exchanged through social media these days, and you're considered a freak if you don't have some social media account or 10 or 12, it is a big deal. And of course, Baring communicates a lot of ideas and exchanges a lot of words through social media. He's a YouTuber of pretty prominent fame, I would say. Now, does anybody know why he was suspended?
It looks to be from the last video. Do you know, or are you asking that to prompt questions? If you don't know, I'm going to tell you it looks to be that Dr. Christy Winters has been, and I believe we're talking about Baring, has been pestering Twitter for quite some time now, because of Fisty Winters. I put the hashtag Free Baring and said, Fisty, I will never refer to. And the funny thing is, she unfollowed the Britisher. You know, really, Mr. Ogre? You're more couth than I am, sir. You know, that guy? No, I'm not more couth than he is. But for some strange reason, she's never unfriended me. I don't know if she hasn't looked at the anyway. So that's it. Christy Winters was crying because he referred to her. You've seen the big fat thing that Baring has with the face, and then he does some funny skits, cartoon skits with Fisty Winters. And she tried to make it was like Fisty, like fisting. I don't want to get too graphic on your show, but it wasn't that. It was the fist. It was the feminist fist. And he talks about that in the latest video he put out. It was a feminist fist. And whether or not he could be bending that, who cares? No one can see in a man's heart. And he did expose to where she was talking about the court of public opinion. And I'll leave it at that before I suck up all Mad Dodd. I'll just say this. It was the whim of insane social justice warriors out to silence and stifle you and stop you from thinking, from feeling, from breathing, from living. And we should stomp out these kind of people. And you know, Mr. Jack, whoever the hell his name is on Twitter, should come to his senses and realize, no, man, Baring, he doesn't even tweet.
Oh, you mean Jack Dorsey? I guess he's the CEO of Twitter, right?
Yeah, I think so. Scumbag. I didn't know his name is Jack Dorsey, right? That is him, I believe.
Well, you know, Mad Dodge, did you want to get in on this?
Well, no, Ogre was exactly right. That's what happened, is she harassed him. After he got kicked, she even tweeted out, ha, 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 look who I got kicked off of Twitter. So, I mean, it's obvious at that point.
Here's where social media becomes a crucial issue in the real world. Because this fucking panty waist Jack Dorsey delivers this address, this state of the union of social media to a crowd, I think at the end of October, the beginning of November, saying that flat out, you will not be allowed to associate with quote unquote violent or alt-right groups any longer. We're going to start tracking the places you go outside of Twitter and your behavior offline. I would love to know how he proposes to do this, but that is positively Orwellian. He deserves to go bankrupt if he means that. This was supposed to be rolled out around November 22nd. It is now the 26th, and we are already seeing it. Not only that, but over on YouTube, which is the Google headquarters, They've put Mr. Repsian's head out on a pike out front. The thing is that after his channel was deleted a few days ago, they later backtracked and claimed it was just a glitch. Now it's restored. I don't buy that. Do you, boys?
So that's the same time, and I'm going to kick this one off to Mad Dodge because I talked so long last time, but is that this is the same time that Styx Hexenhammer was glitched out and all that? That was the whole...
I forgot about him.
Because it was a strange, like, purge-looking thing. It was more than just them two, either. Also, there were people as small as Mad Dodge Production and I, you know, because we're comparably the same size channels. We're pretty much just, you know, little dudes that do what we love to do, and we don't really... people say I'm expressing sour grapes, but I'm not. And I don't believe Mad Dodge will be either. We don't want to be huge. We just like to do our little thing, and it's fun, and we got our few little followers, and we have our own little backroom sessions, our smoky backroom sessions. But this Mr. Ripsion, man, he's a big deal. He has millions, if I'm not mistaken. Am I mistaken to think that he has over a million?
He has a lofty number of followers. I know that he, after his rift with Joy Sparkle BS, it was... I think that brought in a lot of new listeners, and he also has gone after some questionable people on YouTube that appear to be that at least say they intuit that they suggest that they are pro pedophilia. They flirt with the idea that should be normalized, and I'm not kidding. It sounds like it could never happen in this reality, but we just saw that I think 7 or 8 advertisers totally pulled out of YouTube and said that it is no longer a place to advertise. We will no longer advertise on YouTube until there are better safeguards in place. Mad Dodge, you got anything for that, man?
Well, okay, I did hear that it was a glitch, but maybe the glitch was they were going to purge all of these sites off of the kids' tube, and it accidentally purged off the conservative or anti-SJW type people or the political channels instead. Because that would be a way to do it, right? Use an algorithm to find out who these people are making these videos where kids are tied up and all this other stuff I don't want to mention. I have kids in the room, so I don't want to mention it. Mm-hmm. But these videos are on KidsTube, which my 4-year-old son watches. So you do need a software algorithm to remove this type of stuff. And they're making money off of it.
Well, I'm sure that there were people trying to alert them to this before their algorithm found it is the thing. Several people have done videos saying that this content is questionable, highly questionable. So they didn't listen to them. They instead listened to an algorithm, an unfeeling mechanical burp. I mean, yeah. a digital hiccup, right?
Yeah, well, I'm not even sure if they meant to put it into action, but it is weird how the people it targeted were people like Sticks and political stuff, and not all a kid's tube should just come down. They should wipe it clean and start over with it. Instead, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they know what they're doing.
Did Sticks get his channel restored like Rip?
Almost instantly, but it's not the point. It's going back to this, if I may just quickly interject. What about when POTUS got taken down by Twitter accidentally by a rogue, you know, whatever, when Trump, you know, POTUS Trump got taken down? Nonsense. I call bullshit. And I'm not going to lump this into the total overarching cabal that we three here know exists. We don't have any doubt. There's an overarching cabal. They go to wonderful meetings like the Bilderberger. They go and watch big huge owls while they sacrifice effigies of little children and have their cremations of care. We know who they are. But is this part of that? I guess is my question to you. And I'm doing this on purpose. I'm going to call you Mr. Maddox, but I'll call you Jeremy. I'm doing this on purpose, Jeremy, because I believe you know some about this, and this does seem to be this cultural Marxism, if you will.
Yeah, you know that I've looked over this 40 or 50 some laws of or rules of communism that they want in place, and they think in terms of generations, like Islam, the radicals of Islam. They think in terms of generations, I think. So basically, their goals were to infiltrate universities, education, radio, special interest groups. I mean, they're very goal-oriented. So I can totally buy that we're seeing cultural Marxism, but, you know, I think that the election of Trump has staved it off quite a bit, and we see the Democrats are coming apart at the seams. And I mean, it's well deserved, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely well deserved. And I just got to remember, I'm going to do my count to three thing. I just hate dead air so much, and I'm doing it to benefit you on your it, which will be your maiden, what am I saying, guest host here on the Ogre Channel, but I doubt it'll be your last. You're doing very well, in my humble opinion. So I don't want to get too far off. I'm just going to say, I really want to, in my heart, I really want to make sure that I examine the reasons why. Who is Christy Winters? Fisty. Who are the people that are attacking Ripsion right now? Who are they? Are they real people? If they are, what agenda do they have? Are they the product of this takeover of the universities and of higher learning? Are they this infiltration of Marxist and communistic ideals? Is this what they tried to stop when we got the term McCarthyism, when they were, you know, the blacklists and stopping? Was that such a horrible thing? And I know that was a lot. That's a lot right there. It really is. So there, I'll just stop because I'll keep going.
I think that when this first started, this wave of just SJW sentiment that anything that the white man does is wrong. Now, at first, I used the blanket term of McCarthyism for that. You know, it's, I mean, what are you going to, do you need to see my papers next to see that I'm not a racist, misogynist, homophobe, transphobe, Islamophobe, xenophobe? The list goes into the double digits. Now, the thing is now I'm starting to see that maybe Joseph McCarthy had it right and he was trying to save us a load of grief, right? I mean, and I'm starting to wonder about that. The thing is that a lot of people are turning to fascism, which is just as bad. Now, I knew some people who were parked down at Unite the Right, who were waving some questionable flags. I think that they were trolling. I don't think they meant it. And I wanted to believe that blood and soil, the chants of blood and soil, were an admonition of admiration for Jefferson's saying that the roots of liberty must be refreshed with the blood of tyrants.
By the blood of fallen patriots. Yes. Sorry to correct you, but not tyrants. By the blood of fallen patriots.
No, it's the blood of patriots, not tyrants. They are a natural manure.
Thank you. I was going to say, and you're... I would let him continue. So would you give us as best as you can, Mad Dodge, because I did leave off, and you're right, it's a mixture. So would you give us that quote as best you can, because it's one of my favorites also.
The tree of liberty needs to be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is a natural manure.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, and that is the full of it. So it's not just tyrants, it's not just patriots, it's the both. And I would say that the patriot is the one that usually... It's like Occam's razor. The easiest answer to a question is usually the correct one. Not always, but it's usually the right thing. Anyway, man, I'm digging this. I'm going to shut up again. This is balling out right here. So keep it up, boys.
Well, I'm just wondering, what is December going to look like if we're seeing these people having their accounts suspended and taken away and everything? And I mean, social media is how we communicate in the modern age. How important is it? Should we just take the responsibility of getting out there and being active in our communities again as a counter agent to...
They really screw us. How important it is this to a little fry like me. Now, there's some people that, like, say, I'm going to use Sargon of Akkad as an example. He don't give a shit about Twitter. He could make another Twitter thing and be just as big in 2 months as he was, and it really wouldn't even take a lot of work. It would just be starting a new account. People would find out. He just would send out a couple of videos, and it would be boom. But he was like, nah, I'm done with it. When that happened, when he was on Twitter, I was just like I was telling you, we wanted sugar tits on for this. And Sugar was, she's going to sleep. I mean, it's like 4 o'clock. It's 4:51 in the morning there. So she couldn't make it. But in the old days, I would have asked, sorry, who knows who I would have asked. But so far, I've lost three or four. It's getting up there. And Sargon's one of them. And I wasn't tight with him to the point where I got his Skype or some other way of communications. And I don't have Facebook. Otherwise, I probably could get a hold of him that way. But I hate Facebook. I hate Twitter for this reason. And when they threw him off, they stopped my ability to be able to get with Sargon. And I got to give it to the guy for 700,000. And if you put the thinkery together, I mean, he's got a million subs. I'm sure some of them overlap. But I've never, just like Sugar Tits Tonight, you saw this, Mr. Maddox. She got back with me. Sargon was the same way. I don't know how these people do it when they must get hundreds of people like myself and others that you just try to contact. So anyway, yes, this is a punishment. Don't get it wrong, Jeremy. Don't get it wrong, Mad Dodge. It's not only punishing Baring and Sargon and in the case of Mr. Ripsion and Styx Hexenhammer. It's not just, it's punishing the people that love their content, the people that enjoy communicating with them, the people that in one way or another rely on the network that has been developed independent from Jack Dorsey in the swill, independent of, oh Lord, let me get off my soapbox. This is your show, brother. I'm going to shut up.
No, no, the soapbox is fine. That's why I contacted you, to be honest. But, you know, this isn't the first time this has happened. Lauren Southern got her Patreon totally just wiped out. And I think that the founder of Patreon was on some corny morning view show with a bunch of coffee-clutching housewives to talk about why they felt the need to erase Lauren Southern from Patreon. You know, for its detractors, you know, like myself, I'm not sure how I feel about Patreon as a platform, but, you know, erasing people from it because they are on the wrong side of history in the founder of Patreon's eyes is absurd. And I mean, this is an ongoing battle. And I'm just wondering, should conservatives have their own social medias, or should they even bother with social media? Should they be trying to build communities so that liberals can't, you know, take over as they did before we woke up? I don't know. And the thing is, I'm not anti, well, I'm sorry, Mad Dodge. I just wanted to get this one last thought out and then I'll let you speak. I'm not anti liberal, so to speak, or anti-Democrat. I'm just anti-liberal and Democrat in its current form. It needs to seriously rebuild, and they will not rebuild as long as they are doubling down. Go ahead, Mad.
Yeah, but right after Lauren Southern was removed from Patreon, there was a big influx of people to Patreon. Yeah, that's a stupid name. They can come up with a better name for it. But that's what happened. So there already is a conservative groundswell, if you will, for these other platforms. There's Gab AI. There is Wrong Think. There's Minds.com. I mean, we're seeing the competition start to sprout. I think it's a good thing. And if Twitter wants to kick me off of its platform, I hate to be this guy, but I am a libertarian. Twitter has that right. Do I have the right to bitch about it on my YouTube channel? Damn right I would. But still, fair is fair, right?
Now, yeah, I've heard a lot that argument a lot, that as a private company, they can do what they want. However, aren't some politicians negotiating for things like the internet and social media to be public utilities in foreign nations right now? Isn't that a thing? Anyone?
Yeah, you have YouTubers arguing for that. Styx is arguing for that hard. He really wants it to be a public utility. I think that's a wrong move as well. I don't think that's a good idea.
So, as if social media is a God-given right, right? That's what you disagree with?
Yeah, or that it's so important it needs to be regulated by the government, like the electric companies. It's not an electric company. It's Twitter.
I think I agree with that. So, I mean, if it's a private company offering a public utility, I mean, I don't know. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, it gets convoluted and too mixed. It almost does start to creep towards the actual definition of fascism, the joining of government and corporation.
Yeah, let's take a look over here at another problematic sector in modern society, and that is education. Now, we're all fairly familiar with what happened with Wilfrid Laurier University.
Mr. Maddock, if I may, before, because yes. You sound like you're getting prepared, I got a tweet from my co-host, and he wanted to come on. I'm not sure if he wanted to comment on what we were speaking on before we move on, but...
Oh, is this Common Sense Guy?
Okay. Yeah, yes. Yeah, because I respect him so much. I just want to make sure that he has a chance. And then, sir, if you will not mind that intrusion, I'd let you just carry right on.
Not at all.
So this is Common Sense Guy. He is the Common Sense Guy. You can find him on Twitter. You can find him on YouTube. If you haven't found him on both those places, you have no common
Please
sense.
Please do. yeah, I just quickly wanted to go back on what you lot were saying about all this idea of cultural Marxism and everything else like that. Now, I'm not going to disagree with that idea at all. I'm not going to disagree with that idea at all. But the only thing that I do think is, I don't think it's a case of higher governments or shadow governments that are now the ones that are trying to pull the strings. I think it's so embedded into the foundations of academia, the fact of just everybody is actually learning the fact that if you don't like something, you can just tell them to go away and block them and not to deal with the actual process of somebody's opposite ideas. It's like what you were saying as well before, Jeremy, where you were saying that you had the point of you may not like liberals or Democrats in their current form, but you wouldn't shut them away because you need to know what your enemy is thinking to be able to counteract what your enemy is doing. And that's where the left has been going wrong, because they keep on cutting everybody off and throwing people off that platform. And they're playing into the ideologies of racists and the Nazis in general. Now, not people that are conservatives. I'm talking about proper the Nazis, where they're going, well, no, they're actually showing that we're against white people, we're against this, we're against that. And the more and more that they push back against those things, the more you're trying to prove that your ideas and your points exactly the same as what the Nazis are. It's like recently I was watching a couple of videos, and all the points that are left are now pointing up or picking up on the points of what the Nazis were even talking about, even to the points where the communists that are coming out and Antifa, when they're doing speeches, are even pulling things out of bloody Adolf Hitler's speeches. Now, where would you actually even think that would be liable? And you get people like Baring that tweet a couple of bloody videos that might have a sexual slur in it. And then he gets banned off of Twitter. He loses his platform with 70,000 people.
It's hysteria.
I know.
How do we... It's... What do we? Well, what can we do?
Well, you kind of hinted at it already. I don't think building communities in itself is something that will help. But building separate platforms, that might help. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily places like Vidme or places like that, because I don't think YouTube itself is too bad yet. Though I could be wrong, I'm not 100% sure. I know people still have the glitches, inverted air quotes. But Twitter in itself, you've lost, as far as I'm aware, Ogre's already said that there's four that he's lost. But I know that Sargon's gone and Baron's gone. As Ogre already said, Sargon has at least over 900,000 people that watch him. Even if they're not subbed, they're going to watch him. You've then got Baron that's got over 450,000 people that watch him all the time. And they've just lost two of their biggest platforms. Yeah, I know you could say, oh yeah, they'll be fine though, they're going to be fine. Yeah, they will be. They can find out their own other platforms. But the fact is, you've chucked two of the biggest people off YouTube, as in the people that are predominantly one liberal speaking mind, as in Sargon, a common sense liberal mind, and then you've got somebody that's probably a slightly more conservative mind in Baring talking about his subjects. And yet you're losing people like that. You're going to lose your platforms. It is as simple as that. You keep on pushing people away. It's like what's going on with the EU in Britain at the minute. Everybody that voted Remain is now turning away and then thinking, we're not going, if there is another vote, we're going to vote Leave, because they're now being dicks about the negotiations and everything. Not to bring all that up, that's not the point. It's to draw a comparison. If you can see the light of something after you've already left, by people already being forced to leave a platform, losing your free speech, that is when people realize that the platform's not going to work. And I think we have to draw a line under that sand and say Twitter's not going to work.
Well said. I don't know. About Steam It?
Thanks for going back to that. Thank you so much for going back to that. And well said also.
Well, what then? Steam It? Would that be an alternative? Would it be anything that is currently that currently exists, or would it have to be something brand new?
Well, you could go on to what Sargon uses at the moment and use gab.ai. I know it's not the biggest at the moment, but it definitely works. It works exactly like Twitter. Maybe with a bit more funding, it will be like Twitter. But gab.ai, as far as I'm aware, is only about 2-3 years old, and it's already quite big.
Okay, something interesting about Gab. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I've got to get this in there because I find this particularly alarming in light of what Jack Dorsey said about you will not be able to associate with certain parties outside of Twitter, which is damn frightening to think that has that much audacity, that he feels he's been that empowered, which he's mistaken. From what I understand, Andrew Anglin had his site frozen so that he can't even move it off of Google or GoDaddy to somewhere else. It is frozen in place. It's in some sort of account jail or something. Now, Andrew Anglin tried to start an account with Gab, and they actually hassled Gab. I think it was Google or someone who offered a service, a website service. They offered or they threatened Gab with some sort of action if they let Andrew Anglin on their platform, their separate platform. Now, how odd is that?
Yeah, but they still let him on, though, didn't they?
Did they? I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not Andrew Anglin's buddy or anything. Don't get me wrong there. But it's alarming that people are overreaching their jurisdictions. I mean, these digital guys, these Silicon Valley new.
But you have to remember that nowadays that's the problem. These tech guys that are all coming out, these Zuckerbergs and everything else like that, they know all the people that are in the industry. If you've got somebody that works in Twitter, by God, you're going to know somebody who works in Google because you went to goddamn school with them. If you didn't go to school with them, you did an internship with them. You're going to know who they are. And that's how the socialism works, because you're social, you know people. I believe my dad told me this many, many years ago. It's not what you know, my son, it's who you know. And that's what it is nowadays. It's not what you know, not what you say. It's who you're saying it to. And that's what matters nowadays.
Yeah, I believe that. So we're going to need some more innovators like Bill Gates, I guess, to some more entrepreneurs. Whoa, it's so funny.
You mean people like Bill Gates that say if they keep doing the great work they're doing with vaccinations, they'll be able to get the population down to 500 million?
Okay, I still mean there, yeah.
You mean the horrible guy who has the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation for Cancer, where they actually try to find weaponized forms of cancer that they can put an aerosol and spray on people and give them cancer, so it might not kill you that day, but it'll kill you slowly over the next 9 months.
And the guy who opened a canister, like a container full of mosquitoes, onto a crowd of spectators to show them what it's like to live in a third world country. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, he actually did that too.
Sorry, but I'll try to keep it sane.
No. Do whatever you want. As far as the innovative spirit, the entrepreneurial spirit of Bill Gates and who's the other guy that made a movie about him? Anyone know what I'm talking about?
Steve Jobs. The iPad man.
Yeah, Steve Jobs.
Apple.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
More people like that, you know, their philanthropy side, you know, as part aside, I guess we're going to need more people like that to.
We're not going to get them.
I hate to say it, but Wrong Think's a good site too. That's another Twitter alternative. These people are creating. I mean, you're getting what you want. It's just going to take a while for them to be as good as a behemoth like Google or Twitter.
Wrong.
Or Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, Firefox is also all right as an internet provider, obviously.
Hang on now. Google. Wait. Mad Dodge was saying something you said wrong. What was that? Let me get the gist of that. And then what?
Wrong thing. Wrong think. It's another like Twitter alternative.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Common Sense. I was thinking. So you were just
.com or .com.
You were just reiterating the name of the thing. Wrong think.
Yeah.
When I thought you said wrong.
You guys, wrong. No. I was telling you the name of the place.
I thought Jeremy was like wrong. And I was like, what was wrong I'm just now realizing that it was just the name of the damn thing.
But I was reading off alternatives. Like, oh, you, that
Common
there
Sense
is
probably already forgotten what he was going to say that probably made a lot of sense.
I'm not. Very silly. I haven't forgotten at all. What I was going to say was, I don't think there are going to be any new, because people that are doing that are not what you would call the entrepreneurs, the ones that are going to get the backing. They're the ones that are going to have to go to crowdfunders. They're the ones that are going to have to try and get funding off of people already. And most of the people that are going to give you money nowadays are unfortunately people that are on what we would call the feminism trail or the SJW trail, social justice. And if you're going to go, oh, yeah, we're going to give a free speech platform to everybody. Oh, that sounds interesting. Will you give it to people that think conservatism is a good idea? Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to fund you then, because you're going to fund Nazis. Just as simple as that. That's the way this world is at this moment in time.
May I respond?
Or at least... Sorry.
Okay, I think crowdfunding is the new way to get funding for these innovators. Kind of like Nikola Tesla. He got his funding from, I think the guy that ran the steel company or something like that.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, and that's how he got his funding to be an innovator. But the modern innovators on the internet are going to get their funding from crowdfunding. That's how they're going to do it. And I think that's a good thing.
No, I agree that it could be a good thing. It could be a good thing. I just think that if you're going to build something as big as Twitter, you're going to need a hell of a lot more than 50 grand or 100 grand or 250 grand. You need a hell of a lot more money than £1 million. Whatever it is in pounds or dollars. And not many people on crowdfunders are going to be able to reach that point.
Well, Zuckerberg didn't have a dime, did he? Common Sense? I mean,
He didn't need a dime. Do you know why? Because he was invested in his school. Because first of all, he started a social networking in his university.
Times have changed. Or help me understand why. Because you're saying now that I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm ignorant on this. So help me understand why you would need money. Isn't it just a good idea like Snapchat or, I mean, remember it was MySpace and that fizzled out. Isn't it just a good idea, or why would you need money for that?
Because everything needs money. If you need to travel somewhere, you need money to travel somewhere. If you're going over 400 miles away. Immediately, if you're going to walk, you're going to need a pair of trainers to walk in.
Oh, you're saying Zuckerberg had all of that stuff, the per diem stuff, taken care of through his university.
He says it in his film that he just let everything happen. He didn't even know what was going on because the university most of the time was doing all the deals for him. I mean, I think he said by the time that he was, I might get this wrong on the actual age, I think he said by the time he was 20 or 21, he already had the foundation of Facebook set up. He was just waiting for the right money to be able to push in before he decided that he was going to sell, as in to set everything up properly.
Okay, all right. So it's a combination anyway, and I don't mean to derail this. I'm trying to consider, because I mean, I got hit in the side, like think of something good that Bill Gates did. So I'm playing devil's advocate on the other side. I won't say your name, you know who you are. And because Facebook, I have heard, was maybe funded by the CIA and the United States government, that they just plucked this guy out because they seen this platform and MySpace wasn't working or whatever. They were giving three or four a chance at the same time. And then it took off. And now we see this. Look, it's been about 3-4 years that in China, you have a score, a social media score that has real world value. If you have a good social media score in China, please look this up. It's the honest to God's truth. You can't make this kind of shit up. If you have a good social media score in China, it's easier to get a loan, to find a place to rent and live, to get a job. It's like an automatic reference in a lot of cases if you want a government job and things like this. And this funny, is just a bit.
I was going to say, it's funny that you're saying all this, because Twitter, Mr. Jack, has already said that, I'm sure.
Ogre, I think. Ogre, I see you talking, but I'm not hearing anything. Sorry. Go ahead, Common.
No, I wasn't talking. I was listening. I stopped because you cut in. No, carry on, gotcha. Common Sense. I stopped.
Yeah, I was going to say, I believe you said it already, Jeremy, that Jack's already come out in Twitter and basically said that they're going to watch everything that you do on social media. They're going to watch what you do, where you go shopping. They're even going to be able to track at some point your credit cards and things like that, and how you spend money out in the real world to see how you're wrong thinking and what you're buying. So it's funny that you bring up that actual social idea at this moment in time from somewhere as, shall we say, controlling as China can be. And something like that is being integrated into the idea of Twitter, to the point where they're going to, at least at this moment in time, monitor everything you do on the internet under your IP address. Hmm. That's scary.
Yeah. You know, some people say that Generation Z is going to save the day, that it'll be the most conservative generation in like, I don't know, 30, 40 years. Have you guys heard of this? I think Paul Joseph Watson.
Yeah, definitely.
Talked about it, but, so Generation Z, they're growing up seeing, you know, the previous, you know, the millennials, and how, you know, they're kind of soft and everything, and they're going to become emboldened. And I mean, like, I saw this kid on Twitter a few weeks ago who was schooling another kid who was praising communism. And I'm like, what is this? Is this scripted? Is this, or is it genuinely from the heart? I don't know anymore, you know, but I mean, it kind of made me feel like maybe things will be all right in the end, you know, that things will balance out, checks and balances will return. Maybe I'm too optimistic. What do you guys think?
Definitely not. No, definitely. You're definitely not too optimistic. History always teaches us there's always a yin for every yang. For every action, there's an opposite reaction. So, no, you're definitely right. If people are going too liberal at this point in time, naturally, most people will rebel against their parents, meaning that they rebel against liberalism, meaning they'll be more conservative. Oh, go be free with your body. Go have sex with whoever you want. No, I'm all right. I'm going to stay in and play on a computer for a bit. It's just simple things like that. I know people always go, oh, yeah, but that's not rebelling. But rebelling doesn't necessarily mean that you're going out and doing whatever you want to do. Rebelling means that you're rebelling against the authority that's telling you what to do. So, no, you're definitely right on that aspect, that Generation Z is definitely a hell of a lot more conservative. I mean, we've talked to Prankster Locke, for instance, me and Ogre and Britisher before. We've talked to Prankster Locke, and he's quite, I wouldn't say he's conservative, but I would definitely not say he's liberal either. He's got a good sense. He's got a good head on his shoulders. And as he said before, he's 15, 16 years old. And
15, I think. Yeah. Or maybe 60, but he's just a kid. And you're right. He's just, you know what he is? You know why you like him so much and you two get along so much? No, I'm going to stop and you carry on. It's because you and him, he is a young version of you, and you know what? That's why.
Yeah, but he's a hell of a lot more funnier than I am. Definitely a hell of a lot more funny. But no, you're right. I think that common sense does come back through in general. I honestly do feel that. If you keep on pushing people too hard, eventually they realize that they're in a matrix world, so to speak, to use that analogy. Because I'm not saying that. Go on.
Oh, sorry. Are they getting more conservative, though, really? Because they're all pretty open to gay marriage. They're all pretty open to ending the drug war. They don't like foreign intervention. They sound like me. They sound like libertarians.
Well, maybe yeah, but the new right. I mean, I've heard it called the new right. Those who don't want to be branded the alt-right. maybe the next iteration of conservatism will be highly libertarian influenced, you know? Maybe there won't be much of a difference.
Or you could look at it from a different point of view. You said that they support gay marriage. Could that not be the point that they support marriage for everybody? Just because it's not to do with God, it's still a sanctity of marriage in their eyes. And it's what you would naturally think. So that would be one point. Sorry, you were going to say something.
Oh, all I said was absolutely. I was agreeing with you. Sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Well, what was your other point?
They're in favor of ending the war on drugs, which most conservatives are not. They're in favor of bringing the troops home from foreign engagements in places we have no business in being, i.e. Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq.
Isn't that just a common sense point of view, though, if we've got no sense in being there? I don't think that's a conservative issue or a libertarian issue on that one. That's a common sense issue. If we have no sense being there, then we shouldn't be there. I mean, obviously for you guys.
Well, I mean, if it's common sense, then the last few presidents haven't seemed to have it. Have any at all, because
looking from your country from the outside in, looking at your country from the outside in, I don't think a lot of people have common sense, but that's what we're talking about. It's a generational thing. Your country's always been to the point the same as ours, because we've always been with you, so I'm not going to say it's just you, but unfortunately your country's always been under the point of being world's police. Now that's not to say you've done a bad or a good job on that point. But for some reason, that's where it's landed. It's landed on your country to be world police. And I think that Generation Z, though you'll say that, oh, they're not conservative, what is more conservative than saying, I don't want you to kill somebody because we don't need to be there? What's more conservative than that?
You know, I think that a lot more conservatives are against the drug war than you would think. You were saying that was a strike against them being conservative, right, Mad?
Oh, well, in that point of view, I'm saying if you look at the conservative end of the Republican Party as a whole in the last 10 years, and yeah, even Jeff Sessions right now, the Attorney General, wants to push the war on drugs even harder. He wants to come into Oregon and Washington.
Can I ask a quick question? Mad Dodge? How old is Jeff Sessions?
Fair enough. I'm not sure his age, but I see your point.
Yeah,
but that's what people call conservatism, is the old Republican Party, pretty much.
He's a holdover, maybe. I think that Jeff Sessions is very much in the minority in wanting to continue a failed drug war in which the CIA dragged, you know, crack cocaine out onto the streets and you know, all but forced it on troubled youths, right? And Gary Webb died exposing that information, by the way. I don't know if you gentlemen know that full story, but the CIA did traffic crack cocaine. I can't remember why, but Gary Webb exposed
that. Huh? But right up through Little Rock was a big part where anyway, I'm sorry, I ain't gonna jump in. Yes, I got a lot of knowledge on this, though. The CIA was the number one through. There's a guy right now, he's a big fat black dude who calls himself Freeway Ricky Ross. He's a scam. He's a piece of garbage. He's an ex-screwhead. He's an ex-
Before we carry on.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah.
No, I was just going to say, even something that's really
CIA moved crack and cocaine, and that was my point anyway. And
I'm pointing on to that point as well. There's a film that Tom Cruise is in at this moment in time, which is a pilot that was recruited by the CIA that was trafficking drugs from the cartels to America, and just said, if you get caught, he got caught like two or three times. And he actually made jokes with the police saying, yeah, in about 4 minutes, I'm going to be leaving. Do any of you want any money? Alan got let out. Alan was like, well, you should have took the offer. and that's an actual movie. It just shows you that truth is stranger than fiction.
What was the name of that movie? Do you remember?
I really can't, but it's his newest one, as in his latest one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just funny that Gary Webb died. He was one of those who was unfortunate enough to commit suicide by two gunshots to the head. Hello. Anybody else find that odd?
It was a spasm. It was a spasm. After he shot himself, he just spasmed and did it again.
Right. Is that sarcasm? No. I can't tell that sarcasm.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it's sarcasm. Okay. Sorry. It's my British wit.
Well, right. If you could shoot yourself with a full 12-gauge shotgun ODing on heroin, then you could do anything, right?
At least you're banging out of this.
That one's kind of a slippery case, too, in my eyes. Oh, I'm suspicious of every official story, but guys. It's in my nature, you know? And
The only thing I'll say about Cobain's issue, as what you were alluding to, is why was there never any pictures leaked at all about Cobain's death, as in what he looked like afterwards? Even with the shotgun, you can go and look at shotgun deaths afterwards and everything else like that. You can find pictures of what it looks like to somebody blowing their head off with a shotgun, even from past messages and things like that. So why is there never any pictures of that from Kurt Cobain? It just boggles my mind on that one.
A lot boggles the mind about that one. Let's talk about this whole thing with the university coming down on this poor girl named Lindsay Shepherd. How many are familiar here with this?
Yeah, the TA that recorded it on her phone recorded the conversation and published it as a podcast.
And that was a smart thing that she did, because
very smart.
They trotted her into that kangaroo court, and what she played like 2 minutes of a Jordan Peterson speech, who I think is brilliant. He's definitely a wise one in our times, you know. She played 2 minutes of a speech to her class, and she was reprimanded. She was brought before this kangaroo court in private, and while they've reduced her to tears, they're just totally cold, telling, you know, reading her the riot act about how Jordan Peterson is not credible in any academic sense, and how he's part of the alt-right, which I think that he would disagree with.
Say that he supports Jordan Spencer. Richard, yeah. I don't really care, because it's Spencer. Everybody gets the name Spencer, and then I'm fine. Because that's how much I care about him. he endorses Richard Spencer.
I don't think he does, though.
No, he definitely doesn't. No, he definitely doesn't. I mean, he does classes on how Nazism and everything on the right is absolutely wrong, and how totalitarian governments are the bane of existence. So, yeah, I really don't feel that he would be supporting anything to do with that type of movement. But just to quickly allude on to the last point, I absolutely love the fact that at the end of the kangaroo trial, they actually say to her, yeah, you're going to have to send me a lesson plan so I can approve your lesson plans before you go forward after our lectures. That's how we're going to move forward. We're going to control you and tell you what you can and cannot do in your lessons.
It was very cold.
I just found that interesting.
Yeah,
it definitely was.
She was reduced to tears, and they're just going on like, you know, well, you know, you deserve to be shaken up like this. You know, that was kind of the tone I got from it. Didn't you, Ogre? Have you heard it, Ogre? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard it.
Yeah, I would totally agree. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and the thing is, they not only did they say that, you know, I'm going to need to, you know, we're going to have to see how these things pan out, you know, with your lesson plans going forward, but they hinted that she had broke some sort of like national law or something as well. I mean, it was very threatening how they were proceeding, and they wouldn't specify how many people issued a complaint. They said either one or multiple parties complained about her, you know, playing this sample of a Jordan Peterson speech. And it's a good thing that she thought to record it. She must be familiar with this kind of shakedown that's become institutional at these universities. I mean, Berkeley, those people can't get control of the janitor, I would say. You know, it's just absurd how often Berkeley's been practically burned to the ground. And I mean, this is like institutional at this point to universities. I think they've been cucked out fully. Yeah,
definitely right. Definitely right. Something that we talk about quite often. Carry on, Mad Dodge.
Yeah, I don't really know much about this story, but I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't tell them that she was recording them. she not breaking the law, or is it because it's a public university, it's okay?
I think it's a state. It varies by state. So where were they? Were they in California? I can't believe I don't know that.
I thought they were up in Canada. I thought it was actually quite.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So it might not be an issue at all in Canada. I know here in America it varies state by state. You know, so in one state, you know, you don't have to have consent to record, and in others, you absolutely do, or you can only do video without their consent, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, there is a loophole even in America. That if you feel that even in America, if you're in a public space, you don't need to worry about consent. That's why you can video record police officers.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't do nothing about it. You can video police officers when they're doing their job. So it's a case of, that is a legal loophole. If it's in a public space, which is a school, you're technically allowed to record.
Okay,
It just depends. I don't think you'd be allowed to actually use a camera while you're doing it. I think the camera's blocked, but I think voice recording is okay in the school.
So Canadian law may reflect that with America, yeah. But the thing is, the university ended up apologizing, but only because she was recording, let's be honest. And boy, they are really eating crow now. And as it goes... Lindsay Shepherd has now become a sort of martyr.
Well, you know, she's blackballed now, isn't she?
Is she blackballed, or is she?
Yeah, nobody will hire her. There was a story, I think 2-3 days ago, I think it came out Friday or Saturday, that Jordan Peterson published, saying that nobody will hire her now.
But she did deliver a speech to a full audience like a week after that incident, after the university apologized. So she's going to become a free speech advocate. She's made for that now. I mean, right? She can charge a speech.
Yeah, of course she can, yeah.
Yeah. She can make money off speaking, lecturing fees and all that, and I think she'll be fine. And
do you know what the funniest thing in this story is?
What's that?
She doesn't even support Jordan Peterson's views.
It was just an example. She was using whatever was in that 2-minute clip to support an example of something she was teaching, right?
Creative thinking, yeah. To be able to have the debate, to be able to decide whether you can think about this way or think about it that way.
Right. And they accused her of being a transphobe. I'm not sure where trans people figure in. It must have been something in the source of the quote, but
I believe it was the first video that Jordan Peterson was famous on. Do you remember the one where there was a riot type thing and he ended up standing out at the end, and you had the colored lady with really long black hair and was almost shouting at him for the first time, and he ended up saying, "Oh, let me speak to her." And then everybody said, "That's not a her, I'm a he."
He stood up on a public bench and he said, "Now this is what's happening. They're afraid, and so they're not going to let us speak," right? He stood up on a public bench. Is that what you're talking about? That incident?
Yes, the very first one, yeah, where he kept almost on asking, like, everybody for their points.
Yeah, almost like Christ on the Sermon on the Mount, you know? I don't know. I mean, not exactly, but I mean, it is evocative of that. So basically, I think that she's set in terms of being a freedom of speech cause celeb now. And Ogre, you kind of faded out. You okay?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay. Yeah. Anytime you want to jump in, man.
I usually do when I have something poignant to say or that makes sense, but mostly I've just been listening and makes sense to me.
Okay. Well, so she's blackballed from teaching from all institutions. Do we know that?
I mean, as far as I'm aware, but my sources are not always 100%.
What does she teach? She might be able to get a job at the Mises Institute. the libertarians won't send her away.
I think she mainly does creative thinking and English.
She was an assistant at the time. She had a supervisor, and I think she was in a sort of she was being mentored by someone. I think that's all that's all I know about it, you know, her role. But what I do know is that they're one of the people who took her to task with that cold, detached voice is was a manager of gender relations or something. And
yeah, which is in every HR nowadays.
Mm-hmm. And she said that, no, it was a manager of gender violence or something. Or she said that her speech.
Gender aggression.
Gender aggression. Nothing that she said or demonstrated was aggressive or violent towards genders. That's what I don't get. How can speech be violent? I don't get that. How can speech be aggressive enough to hurt someone? I mean,
that's because you have common sense.
Huh?
That's because you have common sense.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's the reason why.
I have spoken to other Canadians on the show, and they said that it's not the best time being a Canadian right now. Because...
No, I mean, you look at some of the most famous YouTubers like Logic and Armored Skeptic. They're all Canadian.
Mm-hmm. I spoke with Davis Cerini. I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with him.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Well, he said it's not been the easiest time. And I think that free speech is definitely being hindered, like tenfold compared to any problems we have here in America right now. And I mean, it's become something of lore, but I've even heard whispers that bestiality has been permitted, like okayed in Canada. Now, well, you hear that stuff.
I don't know anything about that, Shai. I really don't know anything about that. But one thing I do know is that they've just recently gave $10.5 million to a known terrorist who blew up people with a hand grenade.
Who was that?
The Canadian government, Justin Trudeau, decided to give $10.5 million to a known terrorist who spent time in Guantanamo Bay.
Like, do you know the name of the person who...
I can't off the top of my head, sorry, because it was in a... obviously, it's in a different country to me. It's just something I heard on passing. But Fox News did a bloody massive segue on it for about 3-4 days. They had people from the actual unit as well talking about it. The fact that after he got out of Guantanamo Bay, he then sued the Canadian government for not helping him, as far as I remember. And Justin Trudeau just went, yeah, here's $10.5 million out of our taxes just for no reason.
While we're on the subject, I should ask, how are things in the UK? Do you feel oppressed?
We're always oppressed. We're English.
What are some examples of the living situation in everyday UK right now? I mean,
well... I mean, I'm quite lucky. I'm not on any campuses or anything else of that. But I will tell you, every single one of my friends that I talk to about politics is a socialist.
Openly.
Yeah, openly. One of my best mates, who's up on all conspiracy theories and everything. I'm not trying to say that he's like crazy or anything. I'm trying to say that he's open to hating world governments in general. So you'd think he'd hate the idea of socialism, but no, he loves socialism. He loves the idea of it.
Huh. So, I mean, can you point to any like watershed moments of censorship or like total oppression? Like, are pronoun laws enforced where you are yet common?
They're not enforced as such. We don't have like you have to pay fines or anything else like that. It will be more socially unacceptable if you were to call people different names. It's not a case of that it's written into the law the same as it is in Canada. But how easy it is to change your gender expression in this country is done through ticking a box.
Yeah.
You go to a doctor, you talk to a doctor, you then say you don't feel like yourself, and then you tick a box to say that you feel that you're transgender, and then it gets changed.
You know, well, what the hell? While we're on that subject, you know, from what I understand, a lot of people who make the actual transition and aren't just transgenders, they experience a just complete wealth of sadness, sorrow, depression, maybe even regret. And I just wonder if it's worth it. Should we try to help them with psychiatry in a different way than to encourage it? I mean, this is a dangerous plank to walk out on, but I mean,
shall I just tidy this up quickly for you?
Mm-hmm.
Should we accept that if somebody has a mental condition, whether you want to say it's in a DCM or not, should we say that if somebody's got a mental condition where they think that they can fly, should we perpetuate the idea that they can fly, or make sure that we keep them inside a building and make sure that we try and help them as best as possible?
Keep them inside the building, of course. Yeah. Now, let's knock that over to you, Mad Dodge, because you're a libertarian, and I'm sure that you believe, as part of being a libertarian, a large part of being that is to basically mind your own business, you know, tend to your house, let everyone else tend to theirs. What is your take on that? The great pronoun question of transgenderism.
Interestingly enough, actually, a couple trans people come on the Red Eye stream quite regularly, and they're really conservative. I found that was really surprising, and they're really quite sane, which a lot of people like discount and say, "Oh, you're trying to transition, you must be crazy." They're not necessarily crazy. If the government's paying for it, that's wrong. If they're paying for it, that's fine. But when it comes to like actual dating and interacting, I think they should disclose that they were a man. You know what I mean? That's something you probably don't want to find out later.
Something interesting. Oh, in California. Yeah, in California, I don't know how true this is, because you know how things get obscured when they want to hit the panic button in the media. And then it spreads to another outlet who wants to get this, you know, the sloppy seconds, and so on and so on. It filters down, and then the alt media gets a hold of it, and they'll do what they will with it. But so in California, from what I understand, they want to make it, they want to get rid of the law that says that you must disclose if you have a communicable disease, or you know, like HIV. If you're HIV positive, you should not have to tell your partner. That's particularly alarming. And California, man, they want to lead the way on that. The new frontier, AIDS, you know?
Yeah, I did a stream after I heard that, and I kind of went off on it. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's destructive. I just can't imagine. Go ahead, Matt.
No, you're right. Go ahead. I'll get all pissy on here. I don't want to do that. So, yeah, it's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, dumbasses.
Yeah. I'm going to save. I have one talking point that I want to save for last, but while we're all gathered here and we seem to be, you know, hitting it off, you know, this, I think I'm doing a lot better than I was on Ogre's, my first stream with Ogre. So while we're here, and I'm sure this has been talked about, you know, ad nauseum, amongst you guys, how do we feel currently about this wave of sexual hysteria, that is snowballing perpetually through Hollywood and now through the corridors of Washington Power, this sexual hysteria. Well, he touched me once in 1985. He groped my butt. You know, he told me to dress up in a penguin suit and dominate him. And it's all this crazy shit. He French kissed me without my consent. You know, he fucked me.
He winked into a flower pot.
Yeah, he. Oh, that was real though. That was Weinstein. That was actually real.
Yeah, I know.
But he didn't get my consent every 10 minutes while fucking me. We're getting to some crazy areas here. Am I right?
I mean, we've touched on this on quite a lot of different streams, so I'm not going to go into it too much. After I've said my piece, I'll let Matt Dodge carry on, or if Ogre wants to, he can as well. Mm-hmm. You can't expect an idea of something like the casting couch, the mentality of that in Hollywood. You can't expect that to dissipate overnight. It's not going to happen. It's been around since the beginning. That's just the way that Hollywood is. Now, I'm not trying to say that I condone that, but if you were going to come out and say something, you should have done it earlier. And as all these men that are coming out and going, oh yeah, we all knew about it, we just couldn't say nothing. Why couldn't you? You're there to protect women. You obviously just didn't give a crap about anything. It's like Ben Affleck knew bloody Weinstein for 15 years, had his own allegations made against him, and yet didn't have the inkling of thinking that maybe Weinstein was up to something. No? Okay, fair enough. Obviously you had no idea. Somehow I believe that. I really, really do. But if you're going to say all the different things about different politicians that are in our country and the amount of sex scandals that we've had so far, it's kind of similar to what you're having in Hollywood, where everybody's being accused of sexual harassment and he touched me on my knee and leant in for a kiss and that type of stuff. Not he groped my boob or anything else like that. He put his hand on my knee brushingly and leant in for a kiss, and that's sexual harassment nowadays, apparently. I don't know. Maybe it's just a case of just saying to the bloke, no, I'm not interested, and then if he continues, then that's sexual harassment. I mean, everybody can read wrong signs.
Yeah, so now it's going out. It's filtering out into the corridors of, Washington. And I think that Roy Moore stands a good chance to win, and I don't know how to feel about that. Because, I mean, if the allegations are true, I mean, this could be a possible pedophile being elected. I don't know how to feel about that. I understand that the SJW witch hunt is in full effect, but what do you think about that?
Surely, I know we have a law in this country that if you've been prosecuted and arrested for particular crimes, you can't run as a politician. Stuff like embezzling and stuff like that. Surely there's something in that aspect in your constitution that states that. Because otherwise you just elect.
Oh, yeah, and also I'd like to very vehemently point out at this time that Judge Moore has never been accused of pedophilia.
Mm-hmm.
He's never been accused of pedophilia. That's some people, the social norms of one place may be different than another. Mm. But the only girls that he's even admitted that, yes, I tried to date them, he went to their parents first. And yes, he was older and they were, and I think one girl, the youngest was 15 or 14 or 15, whatever the age of the young girl was, it was not outside of the norm where he was at the time where he was there. In fact, even to this day, for someone of his age, 28 to 30, to marry a 15 or 16 year old girl from a good family. It happens all the time. And so I just want to pipe that in there. He's never been accused of pedophilia. Okay. I don't think he's to be a pederast, you desire prepubescent children.
Correct, by definition.
And the girls that he wanted to go out with were developed young ladies. I don't know how else to say it.
How far back are we talking?
All the way. I mean, that I know of, not even anyone has accused him of. Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. People have thrown that word in there and everything else, but no one has legitimately accused him of pedophilia. In fact, as far as I know, no one has really accused him of doing anything wrong. He has not been accused. I'm sorry. One girl says that he took her out in the woods and then digitally with his fingers raped her and vaginally raped her. And if that's true, yeah, he should be, I don't know. Because the statute of limitations is out, and I haven't said much in a while, so I'm going to just be done here in a second.
How do you digitally rape somebody?
Digitally means a digit, your finger.
Oh, right.
So I even made sure I said digitally and vaginally, because you can digitally rape somebody in their mouth.
Blah, blah, blah.
You know, I mean, but that probably wouldn't be nearly as bad as anally or vaginally now, would it? So all I'm saying is, if he was guilty of that, it's too late to prosecute him. Apparently, because of the statute of limitations, and I'm all for that. I'm not against statute of limitations. One of the best things ever happened. But I would say that if that's true, or then he should be gone. I would just, and here, let me end on this. you know, if I was Roy Moore, he's got a lot of money. He don't need anything. I would step down. I'd be like, well, you know, see y'all later.
Yeah, no, I agree on that one. If you've got allegations like that against you, whether they're right or wrong, or whether you're in some certain states that you have to be 18, 21, or 16, or whatever it is, or down to 13 in some, then it's a case of whatever state that you're kind of running in, you kind of have to realize that some people are going to think that you are.
When you say different social norms, and I'll let you get this thought out in a second, Mad Dodge, but Ogre, when you say the social norms of different areas and such, how far back would these things have occurred? Like 70s, 80s?
The 80s was the last, but it's still, like, I made sure I was clear and said that it's still the same way. Mm. If you go to Louisiana, and the legal age of consent in North Carolina, I believe I said was 13, and then common sense looked at it as 14. But the legal age of consent varies from state to state. And I think the lowest is either 13 or 14, whatever it may be. And yes, to us sitting right here, it probably doesn't seem, it's weird. All right, is the best way to say it. But there's a caliber of people that, for the most part, think they're better than we are sitting here, that think it's wonderful if a 32, 33-year-old man comes and says, hey, you got a beautiful 15-year-old daughter. I'm rich. I'd like to marry her. And they'd say, okay. Because they're the ones that it goes back to the weird, you know, Muslim stuff and free reign. It's just the weird shit that goes on amongst people that think they're royalty in high society. And I don't dig it.
Before we carry on, this has nothing to do with the conversation. It's just to do with the time that's in the UK at the moment. It's now 10:45. 10 to 11. I'm going to be getting off. Thank you very much for letting me come on the stream.
Thank you, bye. Thank you for dropping in.
No worries. Bye to all. Bye-bye.
And there he goes. So, yeah, we'll be wrapping up here in a few minutes. I appreciate you guys joining me. Before we do conclude, I wanted to get this info out there just to bounce it off somebody, because I'm a little disturbed by the lack of press it's getting. And that is the amount of post-Mandalay Bay shooting survivors. There's a body count. We're up to 6 now at last count, I believe, of survivors of Mandalay Bay who are mysteriously dying off. Not unlike, you know, the fallout from 9/11, not unlike the JFK assassination where all the witnesses died before it could, you know, Garrison's case could go to trial. Now, I think the first casualty of post-Mandalay Bay was Kimberly Suchamel, a mother, a wife. She did some charity on the side, and she did have a medical condition involving some sort of epilepsy, and she also had PTSD from the shooting of Mandalay Bay that she survived. But she died in her sleep a few weeks after, and she left this Facebook post up, swearing to all that was holy that there was more than one shooter. She was certain of it. She gave a detailed testimony. I think it's been taken down, but people have saved it, you know, posted up as a meme, you know, around to keep it alive. So Kimberly Suchamel was the first to fall. Then we have Cheryl Stiles, the mother of one of the slain police officers. She died of a heart attack and fell off an escalator. The papers said she died of a quote unquote broken heart. And while I'm sure that's somewhat true, the timing is strange, unless she really did die of a broken heart. Then we have Michaela Flores. She did not die, but her house burned down shortly after. I think it was on October 15th. On October 25th, Dennis Carver and Lorraine Carver, a couple who survived the shooting, they died in a car crash. Then we have the lawyer of country singer Jason Aldean. This lawyer's name, he was an entertainment lawyer named Orville Allman Jr. Jason Aldean was on stage when the shooting took place, and, you know, he survived. The entertainment lawyer who was set to, I guess he was set to bring a class action lawsuit possibly, or challenge the organizers who Do we have a new? Who came in?
It's MCJK. I don't know why he wanted him, but he'll be all right. Just continue. He'll pipe
in. Okay. The entertainment lawyer, Orville Allman Jr., dies in his sleep. Now, he was a bit an older gentleman, but, I mean, that's strange in itself because he was quoted as observing that there were complications with the event itself. And yesterday, we have Roy McClellan, who also dies in a car crash, and now the police are looking for a Camaro with damage to its front. He was hitchhiking. So that brings the tally up to six, not including Michaela Flores, who survived, but her house burned down. So technically, that's seven people who have been disturbed post-Mandalay Bay. Do we find this strange, or is it all really just coincidental? Is that possible for that many coincidences?
There is no coincidence. I'll just say that and shut up.
Oh, no, I just want to throw in there real quick. I do believe there was multiple shooters. There is audio that's showing that it's not really an echo, and the fire is going, and then it'll stop, and then more fire from a different location would start. There's also reports of a helicopter being heard during the fighting before the police or the news can get a helicopter over there. So there's a lot of questions when it comes to Mandalay Bay. The people getting hurt afterwards, I don't know if there's a giant conspiracy to silence them, really, because they'll just be drowned out if you just lay low. Really, if the government had a conspiracy, they would just not say anything about it, again, like Roswell, and it'll all just go away.
Yeah, but they're not really saying anything about it, are they? When was the last time you heard a government statement about Mandalay Bay?
Even the Vegas police haven't been releasing anything. They can't find a motive. They don't know anything.
And I've got to say that. Yeah, I've got to say this. The sheriff, did he not look in his last press conference before he went silent? Did he not look scared out of his mind? His hands were shaking. He looked like he was on the verge of tears. They must have scared the hell out of him with something they said. I don't know, the FBI, CIA, what do you guys think about that? Did you notice how shaken up he looked?
Yeah, I did. But MC, you just joined.
Welcome.
Yeah, MC is really cool, man. He actually he was in the NSA for a little bit, I think, or something like that.
Oh, well.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So he's the enemy, but it's all right.
I'm the enemy.
What should I call you?
Just call me MC. It's okay. Just easier.
What did you want to bring to the discussion, MC?
Well, actually, I just wanted to make a statement about this whole Moore thing.
Roy Moore, okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry to go digress back, but I'll go back into this Mandalay Bay stuff as well.
Sure.
But first of all, with the Moore thing, one of the problems that everyone's having with the Moore stuff is the fact that there's multiple layers of what's going on. First of all, there's the layers of these 18 and 19-year-olds that said that they had a consensual relationship with him. All right. Then there's the 14-year-old that accused him of attacking her. There's a 16-year-old that accused him of attacking her. Right. And the various ages in between those two that I've seen. At least that's what I've seen so far. The problem is that the press has added all these up together. So they talk about the quote-unquote nine accusers, of which several of them said they were in their late teens and had a consensual relationship with the man. Well, then how is that an accuser? The press is throwing that in there just to muddy up any discussion that can possibly take place. And they utilize that as soon as you start talking about one small little issue, they use the whole thing, right, to prevent you from focusing on what would be considered criminal. For example, if he was sitting up there attacking a 14-year-old, that's you know, trying to sexually harass her or whatever you want to look at it, right? That is obviously criminal, and it was criminal at the time, and it's criminal today, all right? But you can't even focus on that without other people jumping in talking about, well, if you don't believe her or you're picking apart her story, but what about the rest of them? Well, how can you have this discussion then? How can we really find out what's going on? Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you. I believe that he had consensual relationships with 17-year-old, 18-year-old, and 19-year-old. Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's creepy. I personally think that that's creepy. All right. I don't believe anything Gloria Allred said. And as soon as Gloria Allred came into the scene, it made me doubt the entire veracity of the entire story because of what her history has been like. All right. On these kinds of accusations. All right. It's obvious that the person she's representing who has the yearbook, it's obvious that the yearbook is a fabrication, right? That the signature is fabricated. All right. I don't believe that. Right now, I could be wrong. All right. In which case it would be easy enough to do to hand over to you know, experts to examine it, which Gloria Allred has refused to do. All right. So I'm not saying that George or Roy Moore is good. I'm not saying he's an upstanding man. I'm not saying that he's a pedophile, though, either. All right. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that if women expect to be believed, if you really are worried about sexual harassment and you want this stuff to end, then you can't let people like Gloria Allred come in there with knowing false accusations and muddy these kinds of waters just for political stunts. This became political as soon as Allred jumped in. Up to that point, I mean, yeah, you could say it was political because he was running for the Senate, blah, 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 blah. You know, you can say that beforehand. But it really wasn't truly political until Gloria Allred came in because she made it political. If you continue to just try and sully things on innuendo with people like Allred, if you're just going to ignore their kinds of actions, then as far as sexual harassment goes, you're never going to fix it or even be able to focus on it within the nation at all. Regardless of Harvey Weinstein, regardless of the casting couch, et cetera, et cetera. Right? That's the only statement I wanted to make about Roy Moore. Now, as far as what's going on with this Mandalay Bay things, it's a real problem, folks. People have to understand. We haven't heard anything since like the third week. We have heard nothing, not any evidence. Not any timeline of what he was doing or where he was at or what he was like. All right, the guy that I'm talking about, Paddock, the guy that their claim was the shooter. We haven't heard anything. We haven't seen anything come out because one of the things that everybody knows is those hallways inside of Mandalay Bay, right? All those hallways are on cameras. They have pictures of cameras. They know who was going in and out of his room. You can tell who was coming in and out of those hallways. All that, granted, is going to take time to investigate because he was there for an extended period of time. And they're going to have to go through that film one by one and identify each and every person that they see going in and out of there so that they can ask questions of that person. Yes, all that's got to take place. But we're not hearing anything. We're not given anything. We're not being shown anything. It is like a total washout of any information. Now, as far as that sheriff goes, I think the sheriff, to be honest, he got in way over his head. He started talking when he really should have been saying, look, we're still investigating. He was trying to say things. I think it was this. I think it was that. As soon as you start with an I think, you're in trouble because you're in an official capacity and you're trying to speak for people. All right. And when you say, I think, you means you don't know for sure, but you're making a guess and an estimation. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a lot that possibly could be going on, both good and bad. We just don't know. But the fact that we're not hearing anything, the fact that you don't see people trying to follow up on it, you look at the press, look at the media of all the people you should be questioning right now. It should be the media. Why aren't they following up on this? Why haven't we seen one single question, all right, in the last 3 weeks, all right, at a presidential press briefing asking the question, well, is there any movement at all going on with the Mandalay Bay case in the Las Vegas shooter? Do we have any other information? No, we're talking about freaking what's her name's did she or did she not bake the pumpkin pie for the freaking Thanksgiving dinner? This is just insane.
Well, another problem is that there have been several other shootings and massacres since Mandalay Bay. That was like 2 months ago. We've had at least five or six since then across the U.S. And then they want to talk about gun legislation, and then the NRA people, you know, get up in arms and they rightfully defend the Second Amendment. And so it steers the conversation away to the facts of what happened in Mandalay Bay. And that one is the most questionable narrative that I have ever seen. I've seen more people in my personal physical everyday life question that narrative than ever before. Even 9/11, even JFK, everyone is saying there is something not right about this. Everyone.
Well, obviously, the fact that you're not telling people, all right, first of all, the idea that this guy is, he's a gambler, and all of a sudden he's took some major, gambling losses, so therefore went nuts all of a sudden. Okay, well, wait a minute here. Then why was he obviously planning it a year in advance? All right, the purchase of those weapons, all right, basically the weapons that were used, happened in that last year. It was obvious that he was planning something. So where were these massive gambling losses that everyone was talking about? They would have had to, they didn't just come up that week, right? Where's the record of these losses? Where are they? They hinted at that, but they haven't said anything about that or said that that's the reason. Well, okay, fine. What else do we know? What don't we know?
His brother, MC, sorry to cut you off, but we know his brother likes kiddie porn, right? And that what was really weird was, wasn't that the brother that came out and said he didn't do this, he would never do it?
His two brothers. One spoke to the media in the days following, and the other one only made the news because of his arrest.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. My bad. I apologize.
It's not the same brother. No, the brother that. First of all, the guy comes from a broken household, right? His father was an obvious, career criminal, right? He has obvious, the family obviously had issues, right, in the past. Could all that have played into it? Of course, but of course, there's no evidence that it did. The worrisome things to me are we're not hearing anything about his associations. Okay, we're not being told whether or not he, right now, as far as I can see, is he a registered Republican, registered Democrat, or never registered to vote? Does anybody know?
Heard he was a Democrat.
There's right. Supposedly a picture of him protesting with like pro Antifa signs or something. Yep. It was early on.
I know about that too. Is any of that sustained? Are we sure of any of that?
No. No.
Okay, why not? Why hasn't the press, the supposed to people are supposed to be holding truth to power, why isn't the press giving that information either pro or negative? Either saying that it did happen or it didn't happen. That's what I meant by pro negative. Whether something happened or not, this would be real news, right?
Being bagged by an agency, or is it just because they're that fickle?
I think it's because they're, believe me, if they were bagged by the agencies, there'd be a ton of other stuff that would never have come out. All right. The press is just that frickin' fickle. Mm. All right. To an extent, but it's also the fact that they don't give a shit. If it doesn't fit their agenda, they just don't report it. That's the problem with the press. If it doesn't fit their view, whatever their view is, all right, whatever their editorial view is, whether it's a right-wing group or a left-wing group, if it doesn't fit their narrative, there's a tendency, and it's more than just a tendency, they just don't report it. They just don't report those facts whatsoever. Okay, so obviously somebody has to know. We need to know from records, or we could find out from records, whether or not this guy was registered to vote. All right, and we would know then whether or not he was a registered Republican, whether he's registered as an independent or not registered at all. Right, we know where he was living. Right, how come the press hasn't told us this?
We can't FOIA his voting record, can we?
No, well, obviously not. You cannot do that. No. They you could FOIA voting records to see if he was registration records. Hmm. However, they will make you pay for it because those things will cost money. All right, now the press could probably get it for free. But you and I, as regular average citizens, no, we would have to pay for that information, which would be quite helpful in a lot of cases to at least know, okay, here's where we can go. Here's where we can look. What's going on with this? What bothers me more than anything else is we're not getting any given being given any information. Now, this could just be simply because the FBI is being really tight-lipped about this in the investigation. That's a possibility. Maybe they don't have somebody like Mueller on the case, where Mueller leaks like a sieve, and this, the people that are in charge of it this time are saying, you know, I'm not going to leak this information. We don't know. All right. But there's obviously much more information that they have that they're not giving us. And there's, from my standpoint now, and it should be everyone's standpoint now, there should be, I can't think of a reason why they shouldn't be giving us this information. They're just not. And when you don't have information, when you don't give out this information, the rumor mills begin to fly. Innuendos begin to fly. And it seems like there's a group of people in this country who think that letting that rumor mill continue and fly around is a good thing.
Now, why would that be?
Honestly, I think it's because it's an effort to sow more and more chaos, but that's just my opinion.
Or were you really former NSA, or was he joking?
No, he wasn't joking.
So you could possibly have some further insights into this. I mean, you've been on the inside, so to speak.
Well, yes and no. All right. This is what I've tried to explain several times on these streams. The Intel community is not a collective where everyone knows what everyone else is doing. Mm. Okay. The agencies were set up with very specific roles in mind. And there were hard walls that were placed in between those roles. Right. The NSA's role is military intelligence. Okay. That's what it was assigned to do. Most people don't realize that that's what it was assigned to do, simply because they see the Snowden things and they say, well, they're all working together in a collusion. Well, first of all, a lot of those rules were brought down because of the Patriot Act to be able to talk back and forth one another that everyone's referring to. Number one. Number two, the role of the NSA still remains the same. All right. Military intelligence. Now, if other assets of the other big three decide to ask for use of those assets, okay, mm-hmm. That's fine, but it doesn't change the directive of the NSA. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So the focus, when you start talking about the focus of these things, all right, and where this stuff and how all this stuff plays together, all right, and what what NSA would know versus what the FBI in this case would know, because the FBI is basically internal security and counterintelligence. Okay. The CIA is for foreign intelligence, and then NSA is basically military intelligence. Okay, just because the FBI is looking at something, just because they've requested the use of certain assets, doesn't mean that they've explained why they're using those assets or for what purpose. And this is one of the problems, of course, with the Patriot Act, is it allowed these other agencies, specifically the CIA and the FBI, to ask for the use of assets without any real reasoning that had to be delivered. They could just ask for the assets and it would give it to them. And well, I know that Mad Dodge doesn't believe any of this because he said so in the past.
What do you believe, Mad Dodge?
Well, it's not that I don't believe any of it, MC. Come on, you know me better than that.
I was trying to tease you.
But I do believe they are colluding, and they are wiretapping American citizens without a warrant. And I believe Rand Paul is right when he says, hey, it's simple, get a warrant. I don't think the Patriot Act should be reenacted again because they keep doing it. That's what I believe. But me and MC go back and forth on history more than we do the NSA. So I actually really value his insight into politics and national security and stuff. So
suppose there's no Patriot Act. We still have to contend with the National Defense Authorization Act, which was enabled by Obama.
To a point, it would depends on how the verbiage is actually utilized within the congressional, you know, within the way the congressional things are stated. If you repealed the entire Patriot Act, right, a lot of advantages would happen as a result. Okay, I mean, I don't know how to describe a lot of this stuff to you or in a concise manner that people would understand. But what it really comes down to is people have to understand that just because somebody is allowed to do something, just because you're doing certain things, okay, doesn't necessarily mean that it's wiretapping American citizens. It doesn't mean it's the focus of an investigation or so forth. And it doesn't mean that everybody then is doing this, all right, that everybody is colluding, all right, on the grand scale of things, all right. It doesn't prevent it, and that's part of the problem. The rules were put in place initially for the NSA and the other intelligence agencies as very hard-coded to prevent collusion from even taking place easily, all right. Now that you end up with the Patriot Act, of course, a lot of that becomes much easier to do, especially when you deal with things like the FISA courts, where, and this is something else, the NSA is not a law enforcement agency. We don't have law enforcement assets, all right? You won't get a knock at the door from somebody who whips out a badge and says, "Hi, I'm an NSA agent. I'm here to discuss X, Y, and Z with you." Okay. You can get that from the FBI. And I do think that some of the CIA, there are certain CIA assets that can do that as well. But there are no NSA assets that can do such a thing. Right. So what does this mean? Well, what it means is that we're not a law enforcement agency. We're not there to enforce any laws. That makes sense?
Yes.
We have technical capabilities, that we have asset capabilities that would be useful for others if they had them and were allowed to use them. But we can't even hand those over unless we're ordered to do so. Well, that's where you end up with things like the FISA court, which then orders the use of these kind of things. But we don't go to the FISA court. We have no reason to go to the FISA court.
Do you think that this kind of compartmentalization is counterproductive, or is it for the checks and balances that were always intended for America?
Okay. How do I put this? When you say it's counterproductive, it depends upon your point of view. For example, I'll give you an example.
Yeah, do that, and then I'm going to wrap up here soon. But yeah, let's finish this out. This one thought. I'm sorry. Go ahead, MC.
During the Vietnam War, we had intel assets that were listen in, all right, at a firebase, and the assets there would be able to identify that there was an attack brewing on that firebase, okay, and they then would relay that information up. But what they couldn't do was tell the base commander that there was an attack prepping against his base, right? Consequently, an attack would happen. He would then ask, "Well, why didn't you tell us about this?" And because we weren't allowed to. Right. So the reason he wasn't allowed to is not only was that attack part of the base that he's going to get attacked, but it also was a part of a larger scheme of what they were listening to. And they didn't want these other assets to know what they were listening into. Okay. On how they got that intelligence, et cetera. Does this make sense?
That you have one tough position to be in, because then you're no longer in moral control of your decisions because of, well, basically bureaucracy, but also the interests of national security, right?
Exactly. So you end up in a situation where you start saying, okay, is compartmentalization lines good? Generally, overall, I would say yes. Why? Because it's necessary from a counterintelligence perspective, from having somebody be able to do masses of amounts of damage, all right, on a broader scale. It limits that ability. It doesn't prevent it. It's not a catch-all, but it does prevent it, so that when people like Aldrich Ames, who are spies, come in and start revealing certain things, it's still very tightly controlled in an area. The damage that he's doing is limited. All right. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it wasn't compartmentalized, you have a broad scale of intel that anybody and everybody within the intel community would have access to, right? And the damage they could do is just uncalculable.
Mm-hmm. You still with me?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Well,
yeah, that was abrupt. It was abrupt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think we're going to leave it there. We could go obviously hours and hours. This has become a typical Ogre stream where, you know, it goes for hours and hours because there's so much information being exchanged. And, thankfully we have the minds to do this, you know, I would love to have all you gentlemen back on the Quiet Place. And I would even love to come back on, Ogre's Church or the Police State, anytime. Shame the Britisher couldn't make it, but I want to thank you guys for this opportunity. And I guess what I want to close with is just if anybody has any final thoughts or they want to plug anything, go right ahead. I'll give you that chance now. Starting with Mad Dodge, I guess.
My YouTube channel is Mad Dodge Productions, and my Twitter handle is TheMadLibertarian3. Check it out. Like I said earlier, I do the Red Eye stream, and I also have a weekly debate stream. We'll be back on schedule this week. So, happy holidays, everybody, and thank you, Ogre, for inviting me on, and very nice to meet you, Jeremy. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And MC, I would love to have you back on the show very soon to talk about things where we had to cut him short. But go ahead, anything that you want to close with.
I just want to thank you, and I thank Ogre for letting me on and let me speak my piece about more. I don't have a channel for the most part. I do have a Twitter account if you want to hit me up on Twitter. It's MCJK33S. So if you want to contact me there, you can feel free.
And Mr. Ogre.
Yeah. So thank you so much for hosting this. It's been great. If I was a little quiet, it's because if I start speaking up, I never stop. And so I, you know myself. And Sun Tzu said, know yourself and know your enemies. And in 100 battles, you will be victorious. And I use this strategy. Now, I have to even admit that even Sun Tzu, this could be faulty application, or as the techies would say, user error. But I would say I've applied Sun Tzu's wisdom well in my life. I use it from day to day, but it doesn't always work. And what a wonderful stream. We touched on some great stuff. And yes, the reason, I'm sorry I threw MCJK in here on you.
It was
the way that I did. I should have said something in the side chat, but that's what I knew. I knew that it was, I just kind of was feeling you out. And there was about three other people that asked me in various ways to come on, but MCJK got the link because I knew that you two would get along well. I knew that he would give you information that you would enjoy again. So that's the end of me. I have nothing to plug. You're at my fucking channel.
All right. Well, everyone listening who Ogre has loaned to me as an audience, I guess, I want to thank you for giving me the time, the opportunity. We will soon segregate the Quiet Place and Police State once again. But if anyone does want to continue listening to my exploits, you can hear me over at kevinthestrange.com. My podcast is called The Quiet Place. There are several podcasts on there, so make sure you find Jeremy Maddox's Quiet Place, and that'll do it for me. End.
Yes, just a little bit of silence there for you to clip it. But now that that's said, gentlemen, the real plugging begins. I'm getting myself ready right now. I just ate about 2 pounds of turkey that I roasted with my jerk Jew rub. It was so good. I put it in a bag. I've never used a plastic bag. I put a 10-pound turkey in a plastic bag. I roasted that sumbitch for 2 hours on 325 degrees, and it came out falling off the bone, so tender it chewed its damn self. I've got a little bit of, I think I lost 7 IQ points from my tongue slapping the roof of my mouth. Pow, pow, just knocking me out. I knocked my brains right out. And so anyway, that all said, in 40 minutes, I will be starting my 24-hour live stream. Why? I don't fucking know. In a moment of weakness a while ago, I said that when I reached 1,000 subs, it's because I didn't even think I'd be there right now. I thought it would happen in the dead of winter when I had nothing else to do. But I said I'd do a 24-hour stream. And I've tried this and that and the other thing, and it just didn't work. I've tried. This would be my fourth try. So I have not succeeded yet. But that said, at 7 o'clock, just 38 minutes, I'm gonna go brush my teeth. I've already got a bath, my yearly bath. My beard doesn't smell like turkey or soup or nothing like that. It just smells like beard. And I'm going to roll with it and see what happens. I don't know. If anybody shows up, if somebody shows up, it really won't matter to me. It's just going to be a painstakingly long, arduous journey. And you will end up being able to see what the ogre looks like once he's been awake for far too long. So I don't know. Thank you so much, Jeremy. I keep wanting to call you Shy because that's what it says on the dealio there, but I know it's Jeremy Maddox. I know it's The Quiet Place. What a great show. We've had The Logical Lion. I'm trying to think of who else. We've had Zero Cool. Who else? We've had five or six. If I go through the list, I'll miss some, and I already tried, and I've missed some. So, but you're on the list now of folks that you know we've had come by. Come by the show, and you're on the top of the list, man. You did very good. It seems like, you know, we're off, and you'll cut this out. It won't be on your podcast, but seemed like maybe because I don't know. I'm never nervous unless I'm jumping out of an airplane with a parachute on. I jumped off the wall in Uwari, North Carolina. It's 95 feet high into a spillway. I was nervous then. But those are the things, and I love to be nervous. So it's like I seek out these things to get that feeling of adrenaline and predators looking at you. But it did seem like, you know, you're a little shy in the beginning. But, man, you warmed right up. And I tell you, you got a natural knack. And it seems more often than not, people that are, and I'm maybe the exception that proves the rule, but more often than not, people that are really good at public speaking, like I was listening to Jordan Peterson before we started this, as we were talking, getting the all the stuff worked out and, you know, getting the title and stuff worked out for what it would be. And I'm listening to Jordan Peterson. You can't tell me that Jordan Peterson woke up at 10 years old and was like, I love public speaking. I'm going to speak. No, he strikes me as somebody that, in fact, I heard he was saying today that Thomas Penn Society or something, and where you go and you do the public speaking if you want to, and let yourself be bad at it. And it's not that he can't say that, being a psychologist, Harvard professor, and now University of Toronto psychologist, tenured, wonderful, many, I think he's written over 1,000 peer-reviewed journal papers, very, very excellent individual. So it's not like he couldn't give this advice without being through it. But when I hear him giving this advice, I do feel like there is a connection from him in a way that, and I was told, I'm not going to say too much about it. You said you're going to put it on here, Jeremy, but you said something about, I went on a diatribe about, and I remember I was talking about SJWs, and I said that they were, and my mind was, what I would call that is on overdrive, on a conscious stream of thought, but in overdrive, where I know what I'm talking about, get some ideas in my head, get a little bit past brainstorm, and then put it in overdrive. And where, and Algusentia came up, and I mean, all these things came out. And look, now I'm blabbering, and I should do that, like I said, in about 35 minutes. So I just want to say very quickly, Common Sense Guy wasn't going to show up. He heard some points you were making, and you are a good host. You're provocative. You have a good way about you. And so that's the first one I got, was from Common Sense. Then I got a couple others, and I got MCJK. It was like, come on, man. Oh, in fact, I think he even said it in the chat, if I remember right here, where he was like, let me in. MCJK, I've known him for almost a year now. I don't think he's ever asked that. I usually ask him to come in if I have something. I'm almost positive he's never asked me. So, excuse me. And he knows he has the seniority, the ability, whatever, the weight, whatever you want to call it, to ask and be taken seriously. But as soon as I seen that out there, I was like, oh, that's got to be something real. So, yeah, boys, I'm going to shut this down very quickly. We all gave our last words, but I've got to say it. Thank you, Mad Dodge Productions. It doesn't always work out. I don't pester you very often. But once again, sir, as with MCJK, when I just needed you to come in tonight to help make Jeremy look well in the quiet place and to help, you know, make me look like I've got friends that are cool. Man, did you ever come through again in shining colors. And I just, I'm really humbled when I think about the people that are willing to work with me. And it really makes me happy. So thank you, boys. And thanks, that's Obi. It for me. Yeah, no, that was it for me. Don't mute yourself. If you had one last thing, go ahead and say it, because I'm about ready to terminate it. I'm going to give my last little... Everybody knows what I say at the end. When I say that, there's no turning back. So that said, be good to your friends. Be good to your family members. Be good to your loved ones. Listen, be quick to say you're sorry. Be even quicker to accept an apology, especially when that thing your friend, your family member, your loved one has done seems to be so huge. You'll never be able to forget about it. Because constant viewers, panel, all those that love and hate me, at a time you think not, your friends, your family members, your loved ones, your life, and your cause will depart from you.
You're all fucking autistic.